You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right. Hey, back on the air again, you guys, for another fun-filled week. Thank you for everybody that's tuning in. We really appreciate that and you listening to us, no matter where you are, back east, middle west, northeast, whatever the case may be. We do appreciate you tuning into us. Hey, guys, say hello to the people out there.
Hey, what up, everybody? Happy Sunday.
Welcome to the show.
All right, so we're going to have another week that's filled with a lot of fun. We got, you know, on the news, we've been hearing a whole lot about these police shootings and things of that nature. So I kind of wanted to get into that and look at some things, statistically speaking. We're going to look at some of these emails. They're going to take up some time today as well. And who knows what this group is going to come up with. So, you know, along the way, we could end up, you know, going to a whole different sidebar on some other issue. I know what one of them is going to be already because we were just talking about it before we get on the air. But before we do that, let's talk about some blasts. Jamal, you got any blasts this week?
Yeah, I want to put the governor of Florida on blast and also Oklahoma, who are signing bills or are trying to sign a bill to protect drivers who run over protesters. And then also particularly Governor Ron DeSantis, however you say his name, signed a bill for those participating in demonstrations, uprisings, and protests could also lose voting rights.
Okay, let's talk about that for a moment. First of all, we got two different issues here, okay? Because you're talking about him signing a bill that it's okay to run over, Jamal, let's just make sure we understand what the bill says. So are you telling me that the bill says it's okay to run over protesters?
You said that. I said...
That's what I'm trying to clarify.
They're going to protect drivers who run over protesters.
If my memory serves me correct, it absolves them from civil liability.
Right, there you go.
But not from criminal liability. That's civil. Criminal correct. Is one thing. You're talking about some kind of vehicular manslaughter or assault with a deadly weapon. So from a criminal perspective, that's not what he's doing. But again, I would like to see that bill a little bit more in detail because I can't believe that there's going to be a bill that says, okay, everybody, okay, if you run over a protester, okay, let's just say intentionally. I know that's not what you said, Jamal. So I'm going to aim my car at those protesters, and you can't sue me. That doesn't make sense to me, okay?
Right.
Now, if you're saying that there's a crowd there, and I'm trying to get through, because sometimes these people will block your road, block your driveway, things of that nature, and I'm trying to inch my way through, and somebody gets hurt, you know, if that person can't sue me, that I would understand. Zell, I see you smiling. Let me let Zell weigh on that. Go ahead with that liberal smile.
You know where they write those bills. They don't write in those nuances there.
Well, that's why I want to know what it says. But the way that Jamal made it sound.
Good. And we'll recap next week.
And we'll come back to this. Jamal, so what do you want to say?
Hey, man, I want to get a clarification, too, on this bill.
Oh, here we go. You should have had the clarification.
I want to know my rights. Because next June, when they have an alt-right movement, I'm going to rent me a snowplow in the middle of June and clear the roadway.
You haven't even seen a snowplow.
In June. There'd be plenty to rent.
You know what?
It's amazing how this bill came along. You know what I mean? At the timing of it all. So who?
What do you mean the timing of it all, Jamal? I mean, you know, what are you talking about?
Who's the bill aimed at?
Okay, and I give up. Who's the bill aimed at?
Okay, it wasn't the Patriots of January 6th. I can tell you that one.
Oh, Jamal's on one today.
Jamal, I'm convinced, man. I'm going to have you drug tested before you come on the air, man. What are you talking about? Florida law now grants immunity to drivers who plow in the crowds of plowing.
Immunity.
Okay. So what is he saying here? Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a law Monday, among other things, will legally protect drivers who plow into groups of protesters from lawsuits. Florida has seen very little in the form of violent unrest protests. All right. listen to this text message, guys. This message is coming in. I bet Reginald Denny would have appreciated that bill if
he alive. How about Reginald Denny? Oh my God.
You remember Reginald Denny?
Yes, of course.
Well, if Reginald Denny hadn't rolled down his window and yelled and put up his middle finger saying, F. Rodney King, he got what he deserves. See, a lot of people don't know.
Never would have happened. Right.
Now, Mr. Potts, you do agree that story happened, correct?
It says the law, which goes into effect immediately, grants civil legal immunity to people who drive through protesters blocking a road.
Okay.
And what did I say a little while ago? If they're trying to get to someplace, Jamal, and these people across there, okay, and now they're driving through trying to get through. They're not talking about going 90 miles an hour and you run somebody over. That's not what it is.
Does the bill say that you have to be driving 2 miles an hour and then you're going to be involved?
Right now, as long as they're not going over 5 miles an hour, there's no issue. That's not what I'm reading. I'm lying. But anyway, look, let's move on.
None of that wasn't in there. You weren't going to get me on that.
The point is.
Sean Hannity's press line.
Okay, guys, but I think that the point is, first of all, I don't like the bill. Let me make that clear, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But protesters have blocked bridges. They've done all kinds of things to disturb traffic and things like that. People are trying to get to work. So to me, if somebody is moving through a crowd, okay, they're blocking me. I'm trying to get to my home, okay? They're blocking me, and I'm moving through the crowd, beeping the horn, move out of the way, move out of the way, and they refuse to move, and I'm still moving through, and it gently pushes them to the side. That's one thing. To me, somebody going 60, 40, not even 60 miles an hour, somebody going 20 miles an hour that can seriously hurt people, I'm never going to agree to that.
Right.
So I'd like to look at the bill a little closer.
You know what's awesome, man? They have these things called side streets that people could take and reroute to get home.
And that's right, and sometimes you can do that, okay? But you can't always do that. So I don't know, okay? Yeah. So we'll just wait and see. You're going to do some more research on it. Make a note of it, Jamal. I don't want to forget this for next week, all right? Let's go to the next blast, okay? The next blast, okay, I have is on New York City. New York City just passed a law that's going to protect prostitutes from prosecution, sex traffickers from prosecution, because they are quote-unquote sex workers who they're going to prosecute are the people that take advantage of those services. That's who's going to, that's who they're going to prosecute. Now, Jamal, I'll let you weigh in on that first because you had some definite opinions about that before we, okay, hang on 1 second though. Another text message. Rioters are banging on your car and you have your grandmother in the car and you are afraid. What do you want them to do? There's a question, guys. They're in the car. They're afraid.
Last time I was bringing up grandmas, you didn't want to have anything to do with it. So
I'm reading a text message. Okay, and it's asking a question. What do you guys say? There's people in the car. They are afraid of these people. Okay, and they're stuck there and they're banging on their cars. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Jamal, I know you, Jamal. You would drive through them. Now don't tell me you wouldn't because I know better than that.
Oh yeah, and I take whatever consequences coming with it. But I take whatever consequences coming with it. You know what I mean?
Zella, what do you say, man? Here you got your grandmother in the car. These people are banging on the car.
Why are they there in the first place?
Why are who there?
The people in the car.
Why are the protesters there, Zella? They can't protest on the sidewalk.
Jim. So protesters go and they block the freeway, right? Then more often, I mean, unless you're the first car in the front, they're not going to be banging on your car. And so, you know, there's people that drive. Remember, there's people that drive into these situations.
You know what, Taylor? I'm not talking about those people. We just got through saying, look, sometimes some of those situations are not that simple. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's been on the news. You know, Taylor, that's one thing about you with your liberal views on this stuff. You're never bending on some of this stuff at all. Okay. Yeah, to you, it's just, that's what it is. We're going to protect those people. You'd rather look at, you know, what are those people doing there in their car? So if both ends of the street are blocked off and I live in the middle of that block, okay, and I'm trying to get home and these people are banging on my car and the rest of this, and they're afraid, the person's afraid, I'm asking you, what would you do? And
I'll answer your question very easily. If I was trying to get home and there was a big protest happening, I would go somewhere else and I would wait till their people weren't there. I wouldn't try to drive through and then put myself in a situation where I could end up accidentally hitting somebody and having some criminal liability.
Also, when we've seen issues like that happen in South Carolina where somebody actually plowed through a crowd of protesters, is this person going to be able to get off according to this bill? See, that's the stuff that kind of...
See, here you go. It's what I said. I'm not debating that as an issue. Right. I just got through saying if somebody plows through, in my opinion, okay, I think that that's absolutely wrong. I don't think that they should be doing that at all. Right. I think that that's wrong. I think that's intentional conduct, okay, of sorts with an evil intent. But next thing you know, you're going to get into what's an evil intent. Now, there's a difference between civil liability as well as criminal liability, Jamal. I know Zayla knows, okay? Mm-hmm. So there's going to be – because remember, they're not saying they're going to get off criminally speaking. They're just saying from a civil standpoint with civil litigation. That doesn't mean they're not going to get prosecuted if they hurt somebody.
You mentioned the word immunity. So immunity is immunity just from civil?
It says civil. It says civil, Jamal. Civil immunity. Right, not criminal. Okay, we got a message came in. Crooks are doing the crimes and using race and politics as an excuse. These crimes should never be couched or cloaked in racial terms or issues. So that's an issue we're going to be talking about anyway. Look, let me get back to because that was something that came in that I wanted to respond to. But let's get back to the prostitution situation. All right, Jamal, you got a prostitute, you got a sex trafficker. Here comes, you know, Joe Blow that takes advantage of those services. He can be arrested and prosecuted, but the sex worker can't be. Speak up.
In the words of our current president, that's malarkey. I mean, because are you going to do the same with the drug dealers? You don't charge the drug dealers. You just charge the people that's buying it. And you know, that doesn't make sense to me. And personally, I'm on the side that maybe they should move towards legalizing it, like they have in Nevada, like they have in other European countries and stuff like that. It'll be safer for everybody. Because when you legalize it, I know it sounds crazy, but this is more of a moral issue. You can't play both sides of the fence when it comes to women and what they could do with their bodies. If a woman chooses to do that with her body, that's what she chooses to do. I mean, what's the difference between that and the porn industry? They're getting paid to have sex.
Oh, wait a second. The porn industry, that's pictures and stuff like that, Jamal, not necessarily having sex.
No, that's videos.
Well, I wouldn't know. But anyway, Zeller, what do you say? Zeller, what do you say?
I'm with Jamal on this. It doesn't make sense in regards to the way that works, because that's exactly what I thought about was, okay, so then you're with the drugs, how would you do it in that situation? And it doesn't, you know, you can't go one way or the other in regards to it. I understand that there's a market, and a lot of them say that, you know, if there's no market for it, there won't be a need for it. But the jury is out for me in regards to whether I believe prostitution should be legalized. I do think that there's, you know, that there's empirical evidence to see how it's worked in some of these other countries, right? And the other thing is, I mean, the part that you know, especially since, you know, the focus of the show really has historically been in regards to, you know, the mass shootings and stuff like that. And so these whole incel aspects where these, you know, involuntarily celibate guys, right? If prostitution was legal, would there be less shootings, because people would be able to go out and quote get some in a legal way, in a legal fashion? I don't know, you know.
So now you're trying to associate active shooters with prostitution?
No. Yeah. Men who are sexually frustrated. This has been documented. Men who are sexually frustrated and not having releasing that tension have been known to be those loners goes out doing.
The Santa Barbara one was one. I mean, there's been a bunch. I mean,
let's hook it into something else. Then, you guys know I've done a book on serial killers. Okay, mm-hmm. So these serial killers, some of these serial killers are going after these women for sex. There's no doubt about it. And they're killing them. So maybe that is, you know, but maybe some of them will still do that. Maybe it's not about that for some of them. That's the problem. You know, whether or not psychologically. Some of them, you know, did it because of the fact that they think it is wrong and they're killing prostitutes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So even if you legalize it, you're still going to have that contingent out there that still may harm them because psychologically they're messed up about some of these kind of things.
But, the thought of if they have it in a controlled, secured environment, you know what I mean? So to make it safer for them, and they get medical checkups.
Yeah.
On a regular basis.
Let me tell you about serial killers, Jamal. They also stalk people. So if somebody's in that situation, they work from 9 to 5, and this person has been up there. Now the person gets off to go home. You follow what I'm saying? They could get followed. Okay. So let's just be clear on that note. One person wrote in, not safe for those women put in slave market. Well, that's true. Some of them are put in slave market, and that's part of what the trafficking. Don't forget about the trafficking, guys. The trafficking is also with kids. I don't know. Again, it's New York City. And New York City has its issues already, in my opinion. Murders are up. All kinds of nonsense is going on right now. We got to get moving. Let's keep moving.
Isn't New York City a Democratic state?
Yeah.
Just tell them they'll make a lot of tax money off of it.
They'll be. That's right. They'll be off all of that. You're right, Jamal. That's probably their game plan. You want to know the truth? Hey, I want to mention something else. There was a guy in 2017 with Azalea. You might remember this. The New York City subway station bomb in 2017. That guy finally got convicted. His name was I can't pronounce. His last name was Ulla. U-L-L-A-H. First name is A-K-A-Y-E-D, 31 years old. He was sentenced in a Manhattan federal court this week, life imprisonment for his actions. So that's how you have to deal with terrorists, man. You gotta lock them away. There's no two ways about it. I just wanted to mention that. But most people probably don't even remember this stuff because I told you before, you know, people, if they're not the ones that were involved, they don't, in mind, they move on, unfortunately, until something else happens. Okay, let's get into some of these emails as well, because trust me, some of this you guys are gonna be talking about. Jim, last week someone sent in that Biden is not weak. Really? Look at the way Biden is caving into the progressive left after stating when he was running for president he was a moderate. Another false campaign promise. AOC even complimented him on his progressive agenda. By the way, just to be clear, I voted for him, and I'm sorry I did. Paul from Camden, New Jersey. Well, I don't know. You know, Zeller, I'll ask you first, since this is kind of in your wheelhouse. Do you think that Biden is moving a little bit more from the moderate person that he has been in the past? Do you think he's moving a little bit further to the left?
I think the parties are moving on around other people. So, you know, that remember, there was the Republican Party of Reagan and the Republican Party of Bush.
Here we go. Let me read the email again. Okay. I can read it again. Slower. We're talking about Biden. Okay. And you want to bring up the Republicans. The person is talking.
Can I answer the question?
But why are you going to go through this tirade about the Republicans?
It didn't sound like a tirade to me. There are people that stay in their position and others that move around them. And I know that you follow the Supreme Court. And so with the composition of the Supreme Court changes, when new justices come on board, you get more conservative folks on the Supreme Court than those people that were viewed as moderates before are now viewed as more liberal. It's basic math from that perspective. So. I mean, I don't think he's doing anything crazy that he wasn't saying that he was already going to do. So there we go.
Okay. Jamal, maybe I can get you to answer the question or respond to the question, because the person is asking whether or not Biden has moved from a campaign promise, which he did say, okay, that Zeller didn't answer, that he's not going into the progressive side. AOC this week even complimented.
Who cares? She's criticizing him and asking James from Trump.
I'm talking to Jamal right at the moment.
You're talking about me.
Would you please stop interrupting me, please? Okay. Jamal, AOC this week, okay, said that she complimented Biden because he has moved more toward the left and the progressive side of things. What is your opinion about it? Since you are an independent, what do you think?
I think just because you make adjustments doesn't make you weak. And that's the bottom line. Sometimes we need to adjust that. And that's kind of been the problem with politicians. They get so stuck in cement on one thing. Things change all the time. It's like a river current. Sometimes the stream is low, sometimes it's high, sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slow. So in order to fix things and correct things, you have to be flexible. And I don't see nothing wrong with being flexible.
Well, one of the things she was talking about is climate change and all this business with climate change and, you know, how he's pushing that agenda. You know, the new Green Deal, all this stuff that beforehand that Bernie was talking about, Elizabeth Warren was talking about, and it was all of the hoopla because of the fact that that was all coming in from the progressive left. Now it appears that he's moving in that direction. So now let me be able to comment. Jamal, I don't disagree with your rationale, meaning that, in fact, when you become president, things you may have said, there are adjustments that have to be made. So, Zeller, I don't disagree with you on that note as well. Okay. All this person is saying is that they were unhappy because it appears to them that the person was moving to the left. Okay, after making campaign promises that he would not do that. We just got in an email here. What does it say? So what if AOC praised him? Last week she criticized him. Doesn't mean anything. Okay, so nothing matters what AOC says. And I don't disagree with that thought, quite frankly. But yet she's out there and she is a voice. And quite frankly, she and her group, okay, are making some allegations that are out there or some changes that they would like to see. And I'm not saying Biden is buying into all of them, for sure. One more final comment, Sailor.
Oh, the Paris Climate Accord. He said that he was going to get us back into that. That's not new news. So
I know he did. And he did. Look, the whole thing about Paris, I personally, to me, that was not a big deal. Okay. He did that on day one. I'm not opposed to at least looking at, you know, whether or not there's things that need to be adjusted. Okay. With all of that. Okay.
I mean, that was brought up as an example of him moving to the left. So I just want to make clear that during the campaign, he said that he would be doing that. So that's not necessarily the best example.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot more out there, but you're picking and choosing the good ones. I have no problem with that. Here we go. Here we go with Trump again. Now, I didn't bring this up. Here we go. Trump thought climate change was the sun going down. Okay, so there's an insult.
Hey, you know what, man?
You know, no problem.
I'm going to keep a shot glass next to me, man. Every time I hear 45's name, man.
I didn't bring it up, okay? I didn't bring it up. Okay, just make sure.
I didn't say his name.
You know, because there's people out there that no matter what happens with Biden, it's Trump's fault and Trump did it. Okay,
yo, man, so I'd be drunk as-
I'm going to move to the next one. I'm going to move to the next one here. All right. Jim, with all of the outcry and riots regarding police officers shooting black citizens, where is the outcry to demand that the city of Chicago, as a major example, take action on all of the black on black killings every week? Black on black killings are a national concern. I'm African American, and this is and always has been a concern in our neighborhood. Nobody seems to care when we kill our own. Let's begin speaking out louder on this issue. Julie from Los Angeles. I'll let you guys weigh in on that.
I'll start with that. Julie, thanks for that comment. I agree with her. What I don't agree with, it hasn't been a national problem. It's been our problem that we need to solve. And I think we do need to get a hold of that. And I think that there is an outcry. There is an outcry from those inner cities every day, man. I've seen marches. I've seen countless programs to try to change that around. I don't think we're getting enough help. The root of these problems is poverty. You don't see these kind of crimes going on in like Baldwin Hills or View Park or Ladera Heights.
Jamal, we lost your audio. Zayla, can you still hear?
Nope, I can hear Jamal cut off.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yep.
Sorry, mm-hmm. Got a phone call.
Good to know you on the show.
But you know, so the issue is not necessarily black on black crime, although that is a part of the issue. It's the poverty in those neighborhoods that's causing crime. Does that make sense? Hello?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to absorb what you're saying, because you're saying it's the poverty. So these are poor people killing poor people because they're all trying to get out of the situation that they're in. I mean, what are you saying?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of times, yeah, and a lot of times they get taken advantage of. A lot of times they're in a situation. There's no fathers in the home. He's locked up. I'm not blaming anybody for what the reason is. That's just what it is. I've seen there was an NFL player who said while he was in high school, his siblings was hungry. He started selling drugs to make sure his little brother and sister could eat because his mom couldn't do so for whatever reason or on her own. She could have been working, but couldn't afford the rent and the food. You know what I mean? So these things do lead to that. If you look at any nationality group, the crime is always within the poverty part of their culture. And that's the real problem. We have to fix that.
Taylor, before I weigh in on this, what do you have to say? What's your position on this?
I think there's a misconception that there aren't people trying to address these issues. Even here in Minneapolis, I mean, we're closer to Chicago than in Los Angeles. And I can say that I know and hear a lot more in regards to what, you know, press conferences and marches and, you know, vigils and trying to get, you know, meetings between the different factions that are there, you know, causing, you know, being involved in this crime. You know, I just think that there's this perception that, you know, black folks are just killing each other in Chicago and nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody cares about it. That's not true. And even I know that there's folks even on this show that aren't big fans of some of the very well-known African-American leaders in the country that show up to some of these places. They've been out there as well in Chicago and all these places where there's crime. But the thing is that then that just doesn't get picked up by the news. So then there's just a perception that nothing's going on in regard to trying to address it, though there is.
Okay, so the press doesn't pick it up. Why not? Because why? It's not the same thing as what I mean. I'm bringing up this up for a reason, because the news to me, you guys know. At any rate, they're very selective in what they want to put out there. If it's not newsworthy, that's just another example of them not caring.
Right.
Okay. So if it's black on black killing, nobody cares. If it's white cop shooting a black person, it's all over the place. To me, killing people is killing people. Look at a 7-year-old boy that died in Chicago last week, got shot in the head. Okay. So all I'm saying is that now it's my turn to jump into this to the lady from Los Angeles. Look, I think that I agree with these guys that there has been discussions where people have talked about this as an issue. Quite frankly, it's not a new issue. It is an old issue. And I think in any of these areas where it's a low income areas, and that's not to say that everybody in a low income area is a thief, a killer, you know, whatever. Okay, so we want to make that clear. We are not talking about that. But we do know that, unfortunately, these are the situations, and you hear about a lot. You know, look, there are slums with white people. There are slums with Hispanic people, okay? But yet you don't hear about the same thing. So, Jamal, going back to what you said, you know, you're talking about poverty. Well, there's white people that are poor also, but I don't hear about them shooting and killing each other like we hear about blacks doing it. Somebody just wrote, the white cops are supposed to be trained to control a bad situation. That's not the same as black on black. At any rate, so from that perspective, why don't we hear about it from the other barrio, so to speak?
Oh, you do. Because, I mean, one, like, Hispanic gangs is a big problem. It's some of the biggest, and that's in poverty neighborhoods. What about those white motorcycle gangs? They kill each other. You know,
gangs are gangs. I think we're talking about things away from gangs. I think we can all admit the gangs are what they are. Okay.
Right, but where are those gangs at? They're normally in poverty, in poor neighborhoods. They're not in Beverly Hills. There's no white motorcycle gang in Beverly Hills riding around. And that's what I was saying earlier.
So okay, no. Here's a write-in. What has happened to all the decades of money given to those poor communities? And that's true, too. And then somebody said, what about the gangs in those communities? So we're bringing up gangs right now. This other one says, white cops are supposed to be trained to control a bad situation. Here's what I don't understand about that comment. All cops. Why white cops are supposed to be? See, this is what I'm talking about. White cops are supposed to be trained to control a bad situation. All police officers should be trained, you know, to be able to control a bad situation. Why we have to start labeling it between white cops and bad cops? There's black cops that have shot black citizens also. We just don't hear about it.
Let me say this about that, man. And this,
yeah,
is,
right.
This is coming from the inner city, man. Like, we're, you know, it's a known thing that sometimes running into a black cop could be way worse than running into a white cop. I don't know if it's from their standpoint, they want to show that they're one of them, not all, but sometimes it seems like they want to show their partners that, hey, I'm one of you.
How many times do we hear in the course of a year about a black cop shooting a black citizen and it's all over the news? He's being prosecuted for shooting a black person.
I know, dealing with black cops sometimes in LA.
I'm only asking about the news, not something that on the street with these guys is what I'm asking about. Zeller, what do you say?
I don't know. I don't track it all the time.
Of course. Not for that. That's my point.
Jim, if your concern is about the news, then make it about the news and not about whether the cops are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
I'm reacting to what somebody just wrote in.
Right.
White cops, okay? And I'm saying we can't just say white cops. It's all cops that need to be trained, okay?
I agree.
But you start putting these labels on white cops versus black cops when I'm saying there are black cops out there. Jamal, you were just talking about it yourself, that you feel some black cops are badge heavy, okay? So it's not just white cops. Yeah, it's called badge heavy. Okay. Let me just say something. When I was in the academy and they gave us our badges, they told us these were going to be the heaviest things we ever had to carry, period. Okay. Because some people do have a complex when they get that badge. It is true. Okay. Personally, it is true.
I think with LAPD, maybe they should even raise the age limit, because 21 that's a very young age to give somebody a badge.
A black citizen. None of them are 21.
Yeah.
These are
very senior officers, right?
And that's the part And I'm going to tell you, some of that is some of these guys. Look, I worked with guys to me that were that had become hardened over the years, and I think that's what ends up happening. Okay, so the younger guys, it's new to them, and they don't know what to do half the time. Trust me. Okay,
you know, Jim. One thing that came up today that I was just talking about it at lunch was at least in two of the situations here in Minnesota, the officer that was involved in the shooting or the killing, that there was also a trainee there that was present. So I hadn't thought about it from that perspective, but, you know, trying to show you're the most macho in regards to the trainees or something like that. I don't know. That was just a perspective that was brought up that I hadn't necessarily thought about from your perspective.
You know, I'll tell you something. Having been a trainee myself, and working with, you know, working the streets. And again, LA County Sheriff's Department, they say, has the best training in the country. We have other agencies and European countries, by the way, that come in to get trained on certain aspects, explosive, and a lot of other things, you know, because of the LA County Sheriff's Department with their training. It's very rare that you hear about this stuff with LA County Sheriff's Department because we do follow certain guidelines, you know. And they will demote people. I've seen people get demoted.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jamal.
No, I wanted to bring up something before I forgot, man, because I know you give me a hard time sometimes about, you know, being against anti-law enforcement, which I'm not anti-law enforcement. But there was a situation that happened, I think it was this week, where a female was shot and killed by a police officer.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm getting ready to read an email on that right now, Jamal.
Is this the Columbus one, the Ohio one?
Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah,
I'm getting ready to read an email. So okay, hold on to that, okay? Jim, unjustified set of riots and looting because the Ohio police officer shot the 16-year-old knife-wielding Michaela Bryant. What was the officer supposed to do? LeBron James was way out of line with his tweet. Another rush to judgment. And what about some of the news headlines that only stated a white officer shoots 16-year-old black girl? No explanation until after they were called out on it. Shameful tactics to cause more divisiveness. Mary, Baltimore, Maryland. So, Jamal, you were getting ready to make a comment about it. So let me let you weigh in first, and then we'll go to Zeller.
Yeah, I was going to say I think that was definitely a clean shooting. You know what I mean? Like, the cop gets on the scene, and ironically, the girl that was shot was supposed to be the one that called the police. But at the time,
she made the first call. There was more than one call.
Okay.
She made the first call.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So the cop jumped out the car, and within seconds, he saw the knife. This wasn't a case of, I thought she had a knife. He saw the knife, and she was getting ready to stab that girl. And so I think the cop did the right thing in that case. It shot her four times. Now, people was upset, but why did he have to shoot her four times? Well, if you know anything about weapons, man, and usually they carry 9mm, those bullets go right through you, and it doesn't necessarily stop the threat with one shot. So he did what he had to do, and it's unfortunate. You know, rest in peace to that young lady for making such a terrible mistake. You know, I feel for the family, I do. But I think the cop in that instance did the right thing. Once again, I want to reiterate, he saw the knife. It wasn't he thought she had a knife.
Okay. Jamal, first of all, I want to clarify some things. You're right on point, in my opinion, and I'll give you my opinion about it in a second. 11 seconds was how much time he had when he pulled up. Literally, 11 seconds. It had been time because he had his camcorder on. Okay? So 11 seconds is how much time he had to make a decision with that. She did make the first phone call. She made the first call saying that there's some girls that chased her home, okay, that followed her. So to me, she was in the house. If she's in the house and the door is closed, okay, they're outside. She had to have gotten, and we'll get more facts on this, but she had to have then got the knife and then gone outside. When she went outside, okay, that's when the 911 call, second one came in, that said there's a girl out here with a knife trying to stab or whatever the exact language was, okay? The police officer responded. He gets out of the car. He sighs that he had 11 seconds, okay? But remember, in his mind already, there's a person with a knife, okay? He jumps out. He sees her with the knife, okay? Looks like she's getting ready to stab this girl, okay? And he fired and shot. And people that haven't shot 9mm, I'm not sure if he had a 9mm or a Glock or whatever the case may be. Look, You gotta understand, they said four times. It's like this, bam, 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 bam. I mean, it takes just a matter of seconds to get four shots off, and you want to make sure that you're shooting to make sure that this person can't fulfill the act that they were intending.
Right.
And by the way, did you hear that the mother of the girl that was about to be stabbed is now suing, okay, the foster care program? Because this girl who did the stabbing was in foster care. The two girls out there that were in conflict with her were also in foster care, which is all interesting to me. Not that, you know, takes away from anything that happened, but to me, it's real interesting about why they were even in foster care. And here's the mother who now has an attorney that's going to sue foster care, and she's got a PR person already. Okay, now see, I can't get with that, but at any rate.
Let me say this too, because to the person that wrote the email, here's part of the problem. We see countless videos of Caucasians doing very dangerous things, and they're not hit with lethal force. This week alone, I saw three videos. One was a video of a guy, white guy, who had a gun in his car. The police was yelling, "Hey, don't touch that thing." He said, "This is my gun. I can do whatever I want to do. Y'all point y'all gun at me. And then, you know, and then he said, he looked at the police and said, "You know what? I'm driving off." He drove off.
Sure there's 100 other videos out there with black people that were in the same thing. They may have gotten away with something, okay? But your only ones that you're going to see are these one, are these for us to be able to make a comparison. But Zell, I want you to weigh in because we're going to get to these stats in a second on police.
No problem. Well, here's the thing. I've seen the video a couple of times, and for me, it's even hard to figure out which girl was the one with the gun, with the knife. Because originally, I thought it was the girl that was on the ground. So that's why I was confused why he would shoot her on the ground if she was by herself. But then later on, people said that it was this other girl that was on the side. So I haven't even been able to figure it out from the camera.
You're kidding me, right? Because they showed it even in slow motion. They showed him getting out of the car, and they even put a circle around the knife with the knife.
Maybe that's the one you saw.
That's right, because I watched another news station. Yours didn't want to show the knife. As a matter of fact, like this person said,
Don't make those presumptions. I've seen two separate sets of videos, and I'm sorry, the one that I saw, they didn't have the circle. I'll look around for the one with the circle, but it was, all I'm saying is that it was hard for me to figure out who was involved in regards to the,
as it turns out, he had 11 seconds to decide. She was the one, and she had the knife in her hand.
He's not saying the cop was wrong. He's just saying in the video he saw, Zaylor himself just couldn't tell who was who. That's all he's saying.
I don't disagree with that, because when you watch those particular stations, once again, those stations came out with a headline that he shot a black teenage girl. They didn't even say that she was wielding a knife. It wasn't until after there was some backlash to those stations to say, hey, how come you didn't mention the fact that she had a knife in her hand or she was the one doing the stabbing? And they then came back and apologized. Just Google it. Zella knows
what
stations they are.
The first reporting I heard about it was that there was a girl with a knife and that she got shot. So I'm not sure which stations you're referring to.
Well, I know what time you saw it, Zella. Did you see it in the evening or did you see it right after it happened?
It happened on the same day that the George Floyd verdict was coming out. So my apologies for being in Minneapolis and focusing on that and knowing whether our city was going to burn or not.
That was my focus.
When the word came out that it happened, of course, I found the video in regards to it. And I watched it a bunch of times. And there was better videos later on, but I still couldn't figure it out. My apologies for not being able to figure it out.
You don't have to apologize for that. You were subject to seeing whatever it was at that time, whatever station was putting that out. But at any rate, Jamal, what were you going to say? I didn't mean to cut you off.
You got to stop automatically thinking like the news source is either Republican news source or liberal news source, because a lot of times I see this stuff on YouTube, on independent channels and stuff like that, independent stations. A lot of times you get messages saying this is a YouTube video of what happened. So that is
you can get the one straight from the person.
That's non liberal nor conservative.
The police officers put the video out the same, you know, I don't know, it was hours later, so everybody could see exactly what happened. Let's move on, you guys. I think that we're all in agreement. Well, excuse me, at least two out of the three. I'm not sure if Zella ever said that he was in agreement.
I just don't know. I don't know. I can't say one way or the other.
Yeah. At any rate, he had 11 seconds to decide. Looks like he made the right choice, okay? from my perspective. Zeller, you could go ahead and do your in-depth study and maybe come back to us whether it's how you feel about
actually,
it.
Actually, 11 seconds is a long time. I didn't realize he had
11 seconds. Okay, man. Look, let's get back. Let's get into this thing about this. Because all we ever hear about are these police shootings and blah, blah, blah. First of all, let me just tell you guys something. Do you guys have any idea how many 911 calls are made across this country in a year?
No, tell us.
240 million 911 calls. 240 million. Okay, that's a lot of calls. Now, I'll narrow it down. NYPD has about 6 million calls alone for them per year. The amount of shootings that they've had, okay, of that, out of those calls, 0.01 in terms of the people that have been killed. And if you look at the statistics across the country, you will see that these shootings, as opposed to the number of times that they have these encounters that they happen, are very, very minimal. Now, let me just tell you something. I want to give you guys a couple other things here. The Quinnipiac poll came out and said that 55% approve how the police are doing their jobs. 55%. That still means 45% don't like it. Okay. Number two, 50 plus cities have banned chokeholds and strangleholds. Well, I don't think that any police department that I'm aware of even endorses chokeholds or strangleholds. They even with this guy that just got convicted, Chauvin, they said he was out of line, okay, and against policy. I can tell you in the Sheriff's Academy, we didn't learn anything about any doggone chokeholds and the rest of this stuff. So I think across the board, I don't think that these police departments have that. But again, we can't stop individuals in a given situation. Then number three, 50 plus cities require deadly force as a last resort. Okay, only as a last resort. Now, nobody seems to care about the police officers killed in the line of duty, but I'm going to go ahead and mention it. There's 103 police officers have died in the line of duty already this year. But by gunfire, 17 police officers have been killed by gunfire. One was stabbed to death, and another 7 by vehicular assault. Hold on a second. There was a neighbor's camera across the street showing the knife fight. Yes, that's true. There was somebody across the street, you guys. Their camera actually showed the knife fight, okay, as well, or the knife situation. So at any rate, somebody else just wrote in. I will admit there's a reform needed within policing, but maybe the citizen needs some reforming as well. Every time a cop makes a stop, he or she has no idea of what's going to happen. Then they encounter someone threatening them, becoming violent. Civil behavior to me is the key. If you have a disagreement, go to court, file a complaint. If you have a warrant, that's on you. Don't add to the problem. Well, that's what happened with this last guy, Dante, unfortunately. Not that I'm justifying what happened there, because I'm not. Okay, still, that's all still up in the air. But let me give you some statistics, okay? Because when you start talking about this business with police shootings. So I went back to 2017. The amount of white people in 2017 that were shot and killed by police officers was 457. Black citizens, 223. Hispanics, 179. 2018, 399 white people shot and killed by police officers. Blacks, 209. Hispanics, 148. 2019, 370 white people killed. How many blacks? 235. How many Hispanics? 158. 2020, 457 for whites, 241 for blacks, 169 for Hispanics. And so far this year, okay, 2021, 50 white people have been shot and killed, okay, by police officers, 30 blacks, 20 Hispanics, okay? So there's the stats. Now, the argument, obviously, is that you see by these numbers, you don't ever hear about the other side when any of these other people get killed. And look at the number of black people that have been shot, okay, since 2000 and killed by police officers, 200, 400, 600, 800, 900, almost 1,000, okay, that have been shot. How come we haven't had all the protests with all these other people as well? Because it's very, very small that you hear about these shootings, okay, like this thing with George Chauvin. I mean, that was just wrong, okay? I don't think anybody will argue about that point, okay? The lady the other day. But generally speaking, the numbers are very, very low. Go ahead, guys, weigh in, because I know we've only got about 5 minutes. Jamal first, then Zell.
Well, one, you didn't say how many of those were unarmed. Two, the per capita, there's way more white people than any other nationality in America. So yeah, those numbers is going to be a little bit higher than everybody else's. Black people are only 13% of the population. So yeah, those numbers is going to be that way. Two, we got a higher poverty level. I mean, three rather. You know, we have a higher poverty level. So therefore, there's going to be crimes in the inner cities. It's just, that's just how it works. You know, and then saying all these numbers and stuff, I can't help. We can't help what other people decide they want to protest or not protest. It just because something happens to them and they don't get upset, don't mean we shouldn't get upset if it happens to us. Everybody has the right to protest, in my opinion.
Is he? Yep. So I'll add that it's 13.4% of the U.S. population is African-American. So I think the issue isn't the numbers, but it's actually the percentage in comparison to the. The other part is that there are justified shootings, right? Over here in Minnesota, there was another, within the same, like days after the George Floyd verdict, there was somebody that was carjacking folks and stuff, and that he ended up getting shot by the police. People see the video and he's over there shooting at people. And then he shoots at the police. There's nothing to protest, regardless of what their demographics are. So, you know, that's my position.
You know what? I tell you guys, I don't disagree. You know, and I have said it before. They had a police officer shot the guy running away and shot him in the back and killed him, fry him. I don't have an issue with that, honestly. Right. Okay, honestly. All right. But I would like to know about the white cop that turned around and shot a white person that was running around and shot in the back. See, I can't get those statistics. I've spent some time this week looking for this stuff. I spent some time looking for black cops shooting black people. Try to get those statistics. They're not there. Okay?
Yeah, so, because there's no national database to track it. That's part of it. That has been part of the issue.
Well, how are they tracking what we just said with getting these numbers? These numbers are from Statistica, by the way.
No. I know, and I think like the FBI and like there isn't a systematic way to be able to track all this information and data. And the media has been talking about this, and there have been elected officials that have been talking about that as well. That you kind of have to piece it together from all the reports that are coming through, and actually, you know, do the heavy lifting instead of having all of this kind of stuff reported, so that we can track trends and things like that.
Look, I don't think any of us are going to disagree on the fact that there's police misconduct out there and it happens. I don't think any of us, hell, there's police officers will say that. Okay, so mm-hmm. I agree with that. The only thing that I try to do and say is that don't always make it out to be racism when something like that happens. That's my only perspective. Well, okay? You know, this police officer that pulled her weapon versus the taser as an example. Do you think she shot this guy because he was black? I don't think that had anything to do with anything. I think she made a mistake. Okay. I don't think she intentionally killed this guy, but that's okay. She's going to go through the criminal justice system. Let's see how it plays out, et cetera. Okay. I'm sorry, Jamal, go ahead.
Real quick. You know, the title of your show is supposed to be about, is there systemic racism in policing? And the answer to that question is absolutely yes. There's been like stories of like, I found 2018 Florida police chief gets 3 years for a plot to frame black people for ordering officers to arrest black people for crimes they did not commit in order to give the impression that his department was solving crimes. This happened in 2018. October 2020, six LAPD officers were arrested with falsifying records, once again, of minorities.
Jamal, you brought this up once before on the show, and I'm not denying that there hasn't been people that have done things inappropriately, Jamal.
Right. But when you
it's have, the like, percentages.
Listen, I understand it's percentages. When you had these six officers that did this in LAPD, they had to throw out 400 cases.
What year was this?
That was in 2020.
Right, okay.
That was in 2020.
All right, Jamal.
I affected 400 people.
Okay, Jamal, I get it. Nobody is saying that some of these guys aren't doing things that are wrong. Listen, I'm not saying that.
Right, and I'm just trying to make it a point to say.
Were the 400 all black?
I didn't say they were all black. I said they were minorities. I would love to see if Kyle or Brad was in this group. I don't think so because he came from the inner cities.
Look, as usual, our time goes by so doggone quickly. Somebody just told me that they've been listening to the show, but they said it was an older show. like an older one, John Lewis and David Price were discussed. I don't even know who this, I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, hey, everybody, it's time to sign off once again. As always, we appreciate it. And do us a favor. If you like what you heard, please spread the word. Sign off, guys. Let's say goodbye until next week.
All right. Hey, have a good week, everybody.
Chime in next week. Make sure you send in those emails.
All right.
I love the emails.
Azela, between now and then, try to get some really good education and watch Fox News. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you later. I
had to throw it in there, man. But then get mad at you.
Sign up, guys.
Later.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.